Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from the staff in the clerk's office. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. There are many members of council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Chair DeBoer. On a confidential in session item, I will remove myself as the applicant is my father-in-law.
Okay, thank you. So noted. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed tonight. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first to the item. If an item is not held, the motion is then deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion on that, and the item will take place at this meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for our consideration at the next meeting. Staff report 2017-51 regarding proposed heritage designation for Mack Park 10 Credit Street West, Ward 1. Councillor Shaughnessy asks for it to be held. Staff report 2017-79 regarding proposed town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment, Bolton North Hill Commercial Area 14215 or 245 Regional Road 50, Ward 4. Councillor Groves. Staff report 2017-83 regarding proposed temporary use bylaw extension, Dillon Business Park, Part Lot 26, Concession 6, EHS, Caledon, 13790 Airport Road, Ward 2. Councillor, or Mayor Thompson. Staff report 2017-82 regarding zoning bylaw amendment, access property development. Approved on consent. Staff report 2017-85 regarding proposed official plan and rezoning bylaw amendments, White Sova Holdings, Part Lot 25, Concession 1, EHS, Caledon, 20383 here, Ontario Street, Ward 1, file number POP 1601 and RZ 16-10. Councillor Shaughnessy. Report 2017-48 regarding proposed temporary use bylaw, TARPA construction, Part Lot 1, Concession 4, Albion, described as 7904 Mayfield Road, Ward 4. Approved on consent. Staff report 2017-49 regarding proposed temporary use bylaw application, Tolis Landscaping, Part Lot 5, Concession 2, Albion, 6809 Healy Road, Ward 4. Approved on consent. Confidential session staff, confidential staff report 2017-15 regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose. Appeals option for committee of adjustment decision number B004-016-13471, Heartlake Road, Ward 2. Councillor Groves. Okay, we will now begin with the delegations. I will call upon David Capper to approach the podium to provide delegation concerning staff report 2017-85 regarding proposed official plan and zoning bylaw amendments, White Sova Holdings, Inc., Part Lot 25, Concession 1, EHS, Caledon, 20383 here, Ontario Street, Ward 1. Please note, according to the procedure bylaw, you're provided with 10 minutes for your delegation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding, there won't be a staff presentation, or do I delegate and then there's a staff presentation
later? There's no staff presentation. It's just you.
Okay. And let me introduce myself. I am not David Capper. Mr. Capper is here. I'm Neil Davis, and I am counsel for White Sova. Let me just say right off the top that our request of the committee is to support the staff recommendation to add a site-specific policy to the rural lands designation and to amend the zoning bylaw to permit a medical marijuana production facility in addition to the rural A2 zone uses permitted. A complete review of the background and context of the application, I think, is set out quite well in the staff report, and I don't intend to repeat all that's in there. I do want to highlight a couple of matters, though. You'll recall, a number of you will recall, that when the town was determining in its townwide review the location of these facilities, it was recognized that there would be opportunities on a site-specific basis brought forward that way to locate these in the rural community. You'll note in the report that OMAFRA has verified that these uses are considered agricultural activity, and that it's in keeping with the provincial policy statement for a diversification of the rural economy to have uses such as this. So the client submitted site-specific applications as requested for this property for the use, and in addition to that, submitted all of the reports and supporting documents that were requested of it, and those have been reviewed and found acceptable. I want to talk just about two. There are quite a few, but two in particular. And there was a hydrogeological assessment and a preliminary sewage system design, which is proposed for the facility, and it demonstrated to your staff, and your staff had the work peer reviewed, and it was also reviewed by the Region Appeal, and both studies were found acceptable. It was very conservatively done. They took one of the highest water usages they could have taken to do the analysis, and they found that even with that, there was more than adequate supply from the property. Based on the information that was provided with the application, you'll find that staff indicates that all potential impacts on surrounding land uses, water usage and disposal, traffic, air quality, visual impacts are all satisfactorily mitigated by the proposal. And any remaining items, and there is some detail that will be brought forward through the site plan approval process, and the next step will be site plan approval. The report also articulated concerns that were raised at the public meeting. They were listed, and all were addressed in the report and found acceptable. There was also a wide circulation beyond the internal departments, but to agencies outside, and to an agency and department, there was no objection to this application being approved. We have reviewed the draft official plan and zoning bylaw amendments that are before you tonight, and are content with both. And again, I guess as I started, I will end that I'm asking the committee to support the staff recommendation and move approval of the site-specific addition of medical marijuana production facility to the other rural uses permitted on this property. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. There were not, listen here, I now will call upon Keith Garbutt to approach the podium to provide delegation concerning staff report 2017-85 regarding proposed official plan and rezoning bylaw amendments, White Sova Holdings, Part Lot 25, Concession 1, EHS Caledon, 20383 here, Ontario Street, Ward 1. And please note, Keith, according to the procedure bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. Chair DeBurr, Mayor Thompson, and councillors, I am Keith Garbutt, the current president of the Peel Federation of Agriculture. The PFA represents more than 350 farming family members in Peel Region, lobbying on their behalf, commenting on municipal, provincial, and federal initiatives where impacts may be felt in rural and urban areas, helping staff and elected official develop policy. We also comment on many public works projects that shape the future of our community where the impacts may be felt by working farms. My comments tonight will be more broad-based than just the current application you have before you tonight. The PFA believes in keeping options open for farmers. A layman's definition for a farmer would be someone who raises animals or grows crops. Although food is the most common use for a farmer's product, many have multiple uses. Soybeans, a crop I personally grow, can also be used in the making of plastics and foam for automotive manufacturing. Sod and gladiola farms come to mind when I think of other non-farm products. Many farm products are produced in a climate-controlled indoor setting. Hothouse tomatoes, greenhouse cucumbers, and horticultural plants, for examples. The medical marijuana production facility you have before you tonight, I believe to be very similar to other indoor plant production operations that I mentioned earlier, aside from the extra security measures. I understand the stereotyping associated with marijuana production and trust that the protocol and regulations to be followed will alleviate this. While doing my research to prepare for this presentation, I came upon some other plant-based medical products. Morphine, a common painkiller used in a hospital setting, is derived from the opium plant. Latex, which is used in the medical gloves and the medical tubing, is derived from the rubber tree. And on a more local note, digoxin, which is a common heart medication derived from the foxglove plant, a native plant to Ontario. The ability to add pharma to the current food, fuel, and fiber that farmers currently produce would increase the options available to our farmers. It can also provide economic development opportunities for Caledon, with, I believe it's 80% of Caledon frozen from urban development. The increased tax base from pharmaceutical plant production could help offset the cost of servicing Caledon's vast area of lands. In closing, the PFA believes the legal growing of medical marijuana to be a crop, and our farmers would like the option to produce it if they choose to pursue this option. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Keith. Can't see no questions. I now call upon Ryan Guter to approach the podium to provide delegation concerning staff report 2017-79 regarding proposed town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment, Bolton North Hill Commercial Area 14245 Regional Road 50 Ward 4. Please note, in accordance with the procedure bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. My name is again Ryan Guter. I'm here just briefly to speak. I will certainly not take up the allotted time. I understand that staff may be providing some guidance on the staff report. I'm here this evening on behalf of the owner of the lands, Wincliff Developments Incorporated, and here to very simply express our support for the staff recommendation before the committee. There's been a lot of work that's transpired over many years leading up to this, with OPA 244 coming into place. This particular bylaw, although it's town initiated, is intended to facilitate what was envisaged through this process. And my client is obviously keen to, with this ultimately going forward, be in a position to bring some commercial to this land in accordance with the bylaw. I want to commend staff on their efforts of very meticulously going through the provisions of the bylaw to ensure that we've got good urban design elements incorporated into anything that does come forward. And again, I'm here this evening should there be any questions. If there's a need to be called upon, I'm happy to address anything that may come up. But in particular, a lot of the concerns raised at the public hearing have been addressed in the staff report, and were addressed through further traffic analysis as well, because there's a number of issues raised through the public hearing process. So again, with that said, those are my remarks to you, Mr. Chair, and again, would indulge this committee's support for the staff recommendation before you.
Thank you, Ryan. We do have a question. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your presentation. What's the square footage that you're proposing?
At the present time, we don't have precise tenants identified, but we have a combination of different types of uses. The current concept is about 75,000 square feet in total, comprised of a variety of different commercial uses. And what was done through you to the question is there was some a variety of analysis that was completed in the traffic report that actually had additional square footage conceived of in a variety of uses to actually have an additional sensitivity for more than what ultimately could be envisaged here with the concept. So it's about 75,000 square feet at the moment.
And are you proposing a grocery component in that 75,000 square feet?
The current concept does conceive of a supermarket of a certain square footage, approximately about 40,000 square feet. And that's part of the site design at present.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No further questions. Mr. Lucic had withdrawn his delegation, but we've received a delegation request from Kevin Bouchard regarding staff report 2017-83, proposed temporary use bylaw extension, Dillon Business Center, parts lot 26, concession 6, CHS Caledon, 13790 Airport Road, Ward 2. And I have a motion, need a mover and a seconder, that section 8.9 of the procedure bylaw be waived to permit the delegation to be heard by Kevin Bouchard regarding staff report 2017-83, proposed temporary use bylaw extension, Dillon Business Park, part lot 26, concession 6, EHS Caledon, 13790 Airport Road, Ward 2. So Councillor Downey, and seconded by Councillor Befford. So all in favour? Carried. I will now call upon Mr. Bouchard. You want to approach the podium, which you've done, and you have 10 minutes according to our procedure bylaw.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Committee Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Kevin Bouchard. I'm with Weston Consulting. I'm representing tonight the Dillon Business Center and Sukinder Dillon, who is with me in the audience today, and respecting a property at 1370 Airport Road in Caledon. Currently, my client runs a transferred operation from this location. It's operated the company since 1993. It employs about 40 people and runs about 50 trucks. It has no history of operational complaints or motor vehicle incidents at its current location. The application that we put before the town tonight is a request for approval of a proposed temporary use bylaw, or rather an extension of that bylaw to permit the storage of trucks, trailers, and containers on the property. Our request, of course, is that the bylaw be approved, and the basis of the approval from our position is that the temporary use bylaw meets the conditions set out in section 6.2.13.2 of the town official plan. And that section deals with the basis for approvals of temporary use bylaws, and there are six of them. First is that the proposed use be compatible with surrounding land uses, and for those who might not be familiar with the property, it abuts the LVG auctions business to the south, which includes the outdoor storage of farm equipment, trailers, containers, etc. It's also adjacent to a trucking operation on the same side of Airport Road, fronting onto Airport Road North. The proposed application is a continuation of an existing temporary use bylaw, which has expired. It does not introduce any new incompatible uses to the area. On prior applications, we've had a review of the potential impact of these operations on farm operations in the area, and our consultant, Colville Consulting, has confirmed that this proposed development would not have a negative impact on adjacent farm operations, and I'm speaking of the Brighterview Farms. The second criteria is that adequate parking be provided on the site, and of course this is done, there is no off-site parking or of the site at all. The third criteria is that adverse traffic impact will not be created. There have been two separate traffic impact studies on this site over the years, one in June of 2009 and the other in January of 2015. And both studies have indicated that there are no impacts anticipated from the operation of this facility, at least in the initial temporary use bylaw, and secondarily as part of the Sand Hill Industrial Commercial Center study. So there's no anticipation and there's no history of traffic impacts associated with this operation continuing. The fourth item that needs to be considered is that no new buildings are being constructed on the site, and that certainly permanent structures or the addition of permanent structures is not supported in terms of the official plan regulations. The fifth item is that the use cannot become a permanent use or be difficult to terminate. In this instance, the portion of the lands that are used for truck storage are on a graveled parking lot. There are no structures. If it were to revert to agricultural use, it would simply be a matter of taking up the gravel, perhaps putting it through a trommel, and reestablishing the topsoil on the site. So it is easily convertible back to an agricultural use. The final item to be considered is that no adverse environmental impacts should be avoided, minimized, or mitigated. There is an ESA area to the south of the property. The trailers and transport trailers are currently well set back from the natural heritage feature and buffer area, and there are no environmental impacts anticipated. Finally, staff raised the question of whether or not it's appropriate that the temporary use bylaw be used as were intended, as a bridge to the commencement of the town official plan of review, which is expected to commence in August 2017, where issues of transport operations will be considered, presumably town-wide, but particularly relating to the settlement, Sandhill settlement area. There's two points that I'd like to make to that, and first is that the Planning Act does not bind council in terms of its intention for establishing a temporary use bylaw. Council is not bound by intent, as is suggested by the staff report, where it states a temporary bylaw is not intended to serve as a placeholder to permit a use on an interim basis to allow an official plan review to commence. So council on that point is free to establish its basis for establishing the temporary use bylaw. On the contrary, we believe that it's valid and reasonable to allow the business with 40 employees to continue to operate as it has without incident, as the official plan review addresses the issue of siting and the operations of transport facilities, particularly in the Sandhill settlement area. Our client intends in the future to participate in the official plan review to address this policy question, that of open storage and the parking of transport trucks and trailers accessory to the existing use. Following the official plan review, if necessary, the lands could easily be reverted to agricultural use without any additional impacts to the agricultural area. These are my comments. I'm open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't have any questions, so thank you. We will be bringing the report shortly, but we've got a few other things to take care of. The next item on the agenda is the staff reports. If the council member who held the report will be provided the opportunity to speak first. Staff report 2017-51 regarding the proposed heritage designation for Max Park, 10 Credit Street in Ward 1. I'll need a mover and a seconder. The staff be directed to proceed with the notice of intent to designate 10 Credit Street, known as Max Park, Bell Fountain Conservation Area, and prepare the reference plan to identify the parcel to be designated. And should there be no objection, be received during the mandatory 30-day public objection period during the publication of the notice of intent to designate, a bylaw be enacted for the purpose of designating Mac Park pursuant to the Ontario Heritage Act. So we have a mover, Mayor Thompson and Councillor Downey. So are there any questions? Oh, Councillor Shaughnessy, yes. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just want to put it on the record because I need to get the proper feedback. I'm told this doesn't hamper it, but I would rather be safe than sorry. I understand from past councillors that Credit Street and Pinnacle, which were extensions through the property, which were never done because it's historical, that there were motions on Town of Kelvin's books having to do with making sure that Pinnacle had an extension on it to allow our vehicles to turn around. And staff don't know about this, so I'm saying it's old, and I know the mayor's looking at me kind of like, ooh. Anyways, past councillors told me. And that Credit Street, a portion of it was to be retained. Now, I don't have the motions in hand because obviously they're before my time, but I think staff need to do some research because from what I understand about Pinnacle is that when our plows go to do the snow plowing, there is no ability to turn the vehicles around. And I just don't want to hamper that because I've seen what happens, that sometimes things slip through the cracks. I don't want to hamper making sure that that property stays in Town of Kellen's hands. So it's really more for the record, and I'm wanting staff to investigate it further because it's an ex-counselor who was involved in it, who told me about it. And so let's just make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's before we do anything else. That's really what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Tollett, you speak?
Sorry, Chair DeBoer, Councillor Shaughnessy. Staff will look into those issues. I think we've already reached out to some staff internally, and we'll get the responses.
Okay. All in favor? Carried. Staff report 2017-79 regarding proposed town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment, Bolton North Hill Commercial Area, 14245 Regional Road 50, Ward 4. The staff report 79-2017 regarding proposed town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment, North Hill Commercial Area, 14245 Regional Road 50, Ward 4 be received, and that the bylaw attached to Schedule B to the staff report 79-2017 be enacted to amend the zoning bylaw 2650 as amended to rezone a portion of the subjected lands from A1 to general commercial exception 577C-577 to permit future commercial development. We need a mover and a seconder. Movers, Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor Innes, and Councillor Groves, you asked for it to be held.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need some clarification. I'm looking at the map, and there is an area subject to rezoning 16-02. It's hatched out in a black and white. And then we have in red the subject property. So do you have the map, Mary? Okay. So my question is, the piece that's hatched out in the black, is that the piece, has that piece been approved?
Do we have because the ability to put this up? Just so everybody knows what we're talking about the same thing.
Okay. So that's the piece, the area subject RZ-1602, that piece that's hatched out in the black and white. I have a planning report from 2015. It's 2015-06-23. And I believe it was this report that hatched out that piece, Mary? So is my question is, that black and white square, is that part of ROPA 28, and has there been a boundary expansion, and is that in within the current boundaries?
Through you, yeah. Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves. Yes, this parcel formed part of ROPA 24, and that was approved. It came out of the appeal and took effect in February of 2015.
Okay.
And then OPA 244 was passed in June. That put the policies in place in our official plan. But, yes, it's within the settlement boundary through both the ROPA 24 and OPA 244.
So 16-02 is in that?
That's correct. That's right. Part of the subject property itself is 5.3 hectares. The hatched area represents 3.3 hectares of that overall 5.3 hectare site.
So this subject property that's in red, is that piece part of ROPA 28? Or is that also the whole thing is part of ROPA 24?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves, that area is subject to ROPA 24 and in effect is just the hatched piece.
So we're not bringing any more lands in?
This does not represent a settlement boundary expansion.
Okay,
it was already approved through ROPA 24.
Thank you. That was my question, is that there's no settlement boundaries involved or anything. Okay.
Correct.
Do we have, with respect to servicing, is there enough for water and wastewater in that hatched area?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves, the Region of Peel have reviewed it, and through site plan application, it'll be reviewed more extensively once we know the uses and the square footage and the demand that would be involved with the proposed uses. But the Region of Peel have no concerns with the rezoning application before us today.
Okay. And that piece, is it in, do you know if that's in pressure zone number 6 or?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, I'm not aware of which zone it's in.
Okay, so that probably is something I need some clarification on, because I know that the current pressure zone that we have that supplies the Bolton area is pressure zone number 6. Okay, so I just need to have some clarification from regional staff that if it is in pressure zone number 7, that it is serviced by pressure zone number 6. Okay.
Okay. That's it?
No. Okay. And it's my understanding from the applicant that they're proposing a 75,000 square foot site with 40,000 square foot of groceries. So we have in the South Hill, we have a food in the plaza on Queen Street. There is a proposal, or I don't know if there's an application in here, or I don't know what's happening, but there's a big sign that says that there's a food basics being proposed. There's also in the Bentall Plaza, we went through an OMB hearing many years ago that approved some grocery component in the Bentall Plaza. So I guess my question is, if we're proposing a 40,000 square feet grocery component and we've got all that grocery on the South Hill, and we've got Bentall has not used the square footage that they've been approved. They have not used that. So how does this work?
So you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves. So we don't determine what the market wants to bring there. We just look through the planning process and what the site plan, when they bring it in, whether it complies or not. It's up to the developer whether they want to bring forward what components to that area.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm not prepared to support this because I recall when the North Hill Residents Group came forward with a proposal for additional groceries on the North Hill, they were envisioning a much smaller site. We were sort of envisioning something like a 10,000 square feet or 12,000 square feet garden foods type store. And I know that when this came forward, the North Hill Residents Group did not support this type of grocery component because they just thought that it was too much and it wasn't what they were looking to do. So, you know, I guess I just don't know how this is going to impact what's already existing. And certainly we have that food basics proposed. So, and I know this has nothing to do with planning, but this is just from a community perspective. And I know that the residents on the North Hill, they've always asked for some sort of a grocery component, but not to this magnitude. So those are my comments. I never supported it back then. And I don't think that the community can support another 40,000 square feet of grocery component. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? This site, just as a question, I got a question, but when we did a retail study, and I think this site's always been included at the square footage that's being offered now as part of that retail demand study, because when we did the Bentall property, this was already in the mix, if I remember right.
This, through the ROPA 24 process, there was a fiscal commercial impact study that was done to support and justify this proposal. So any retail market impact studies that have been done since then would have to consider this space, this site for grocery retail.
Okay, thanks. So we had mover and seconder. So all in favor? Carried. Been requested to have a oh We'll reconvene at quarter to eight. Okay, everyone, I call this back to order. Staff report 2017-83 regarding proposed temporary use bylaw extension, Dillon Business Center, Part Lot 26, Concession 6, EHS Caledon, 13790 Airport Road, Ward 2. Councillor Thompson has, Mayor Thompson has a new motion, and that the temporary use bylaw amendment application RZ14-05 to permit the storage of trucks, trailers, transport trailers on the subject lands for a temporary period be granted subject to satisfactory site plan that addresses the following: access arrangements and land dedication satisfactory to the region appeal, landscape works including appropriate vegetative screens, berms, site lighting as applicable, stormwater management and grading works, and that the site plan agreement be entered into which ensures the lands are returned to a satisfactory agricultural condition upon the expiration of the temporary use bylaw. And Mayor Thompson, you did ask for it to be held so you can speak. Oh, I'll need a mover. Mayor Thompson, and seconded by Councillor Downey. And Mayor, you've got the floor.
Yes, I read the report, but I think from what's already existing, I think this is something that we've just never been able to get off the ground. So let's start to deal with it as it is. And I know before they had volunteered to start with a process because it was temporary. Well, we've tried it that way and it hasn't worked. So let's try it from a different angle to kind of give the status where this needs to go. And to me, is I think this is has a better outcome for everybody if we can go through this. And I know if these gentlemen are there here tonight that represent the company, if they're very serious and want to make that commitment, I think it's better for Caledon, it's better for them, and it's puts council and staff in a better position going forward. So I think to me this is the better solution that was originally proposed, but I understand where staff were coming from and why they wrote the report they did, but I think this is the better way to do it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I appreciate the intent of what Mayor Thompson's proposing, and I'm also trying to appreciate the work and advice that we're being given by staff. I have a question, and based on the answer, I have a suggestion. What is the timing for the expiry of the temporary use? Is this imminent, as in it needs to be either approved or disapproved immediately? Because if it's not imminent, I'm wondering if it might be worth, for my personal knowledge, I would like to refer it back to staff for them to review the request here and report back to staff, to council. So I'm asking what the timing is as far as the temporary use bylaw.
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Chair DeBoer, Councilman Cipelli, it had actually already expired.
So what would a further delay mean that isn't the case right now?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councilor Mezzapelli. So the issue is there is some pending enforcement issues in that parcel of land as well. So there's an outstanding case related to that. That if we put this in place, then that will kind of stop that from happening.
Okay. So personally, for myself, I appreciate what Mayor Thompson is trying to do here and find a solution, but it doesn't give me the chance to consult with staff and get their feedback on what is proposed here. So through you, Chair DeBoer, I'd like to propose a motion of referring this to staff to have them review the motion and bring it back.
Okay, we will need a seconder. And we'll, Councillor Shaughnessy. And the motion is to refer.
Refer the amendment to staff for their comments.
Okay.
And to come back at the earliest.
I guess if staff are prepared, do they want to comment on this, or does staff wish some time to figure this out? I guess would be a question. Okay. Well, this is okay. Refer back to staff. Okay, so it's moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy, to refer this report back to staff for additional information. So we will need a, we've got a mover and a seconder. We've got a Councillor Groves. Do you wish to speak to this motion, the referral?
No.
Councillor Innes, do you wish to speak to the referral? You can have the floor then.
Thank you. Since it's already been outlined that they're already out of their time limit, and because of that, they're pending, I don't want to say litigation, but potential litigation, because that they're already outside of those bounds. Are staff prepared to comment on the amendment that's before us? Are they prepared to speak to it now, or do you feel that you need more time?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Innes, the report that's before you is staff's recommendation on how we've assessed the temporary use bylaw application before you in accordance with the official plan policies. The recommendations are very clear. Of course, we're going to operate in accordance with whatever direction is given to us by Council. If Council sees merit in the application and decides to support it, we will certainly follow any direction given, including the motions that are before you with respect to the matters that Council would like to see, if the motion's approved, to be addressed at a site plan level.
So if the, I know you have the referral on there, but this is to discuss whether or not we are going to refer it. Can you put the amendment back up there for a moment? And just ask staff specifically, do you have any strong concerns or comments with regards to what is before you? I know it's not exactly what your report states. I'm concerned that we're going to be entering into a litigation matter with this business when we have something before us that potentially could work, and it's a temporary zoning, which means it's only another 3 years. Is that correct?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, that is correct. Yeah. Yes. Again, through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Innes, based on the conditions that are outlined in the motion before you, we feel those conditions are reasonable. We might suggest that perhaps a time limit be included in that to make sure that these measures are actually implemented in a timely fashion.
Okay. So since the referral is before us, I'm not going to support the referral, and instead I'm hoping that it gets defeated and then we can add a timeline as an amendment to that amendment. And that's all I'll say.
Okay. Councillor Groves, to the referral.
Mm-hmm. I'm not supporting the referral either, and the reason being the amendment that Mayor Thompson has, I think it addresses a lot of the concerns. And the concern that I had was from a regional perspective, and I think that paragraph number two satisfies, and Brandon, you can tell me, does it satisfy the region appeal, the concerns they had?
Yeah, that's correct. Essentially, those conditions recap kind of the status that's been left off with an ongoing site plan application. So essentially, that will ensure that the conditions are wrapped up and implemented.
Okay. And because of the location of this property, there really aren't any residents around there. It's in an area where it's along Airport Road, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay. And he's there's a lot of things included here, Birmingham in that. And to Councillor Innes's point, if we're going into litigation when there's a solution on the table, I don't know that we want to spend those dollars to go into litigation when we have a solution before us. So I too won't support the referral.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy?
My concern was actually no timeline, and this council knows I'm kind of a stickler on timelines. So now that staff have said that they too believe there should be a timeline on this, instead of us arbitrarily coming up with a timeline here, do you have a suggestion on what is reasonable?
Well, we can talk about that when we bring it forward. This is, we're talking about the motion to defer, refer. We're talking about the motion to refer at this point in time. So if the question is about the motion that's there, we'll call that back up when we get to it if this motion right now to refer it is defeated. So I call the question.
No,
all in favor?
No, he's got his light lit up.
Okay, Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I will withdraw my referral, and I will ask a question when the amendment comes up. Thanks.
Okay, so we all have to vote on whether we can withdraw it. All in favor? We need seconder? Seconder? Councillor Downey to second. Move to second. Councillor Mezzapelli, mover. Councillor Downey, second. You want this back? And you can write on that. Mm-hmm. Keep it straight. All in favor of with removal? Is carried. Okay, we're back to the main motion, which we're going to have up there. Do I have somebody wanting to make an amendment, I'm gathering? The mayor, would you like to make an amendment? Turn your mic on, though.
Sorry. If I can ask staff, what's a timeline that is feasible? Because I don't want to throw something out here. And can you give me a timeline that we can add to this? And I think we're good to go.
Okay. Through you, Chair, to Board of Mayor Thompson, about 6 months.
Okay.
So it's June now, so come back in December? December.
So to be clear, the December, and that's when the work is to be completed? Okay.
Yeah. December 2000.
The clerk wants to ask a question. Go ahead.
Thank you. Through the chair, to your worship, do you mean, I guess, when you're putting in the motion with the 6 months or December, what does that mean? Does that mean when council enacts the bylaw? Does that mean that the site plan is the agreement's entered into? What exactly are what staff?
Where I was thinking is like 6 months of a, when it's completed and probably can come back to council, like maybe it's December, but at least 6 months, they have 6 months to get it completed, which I think is achievable.
Sorry. Again, for clarification, what does complete mean? And I'll turn to staff. What does that mean to you?
Those 4 points. Turn the mic on, please, Peggy.
I'm assuming you mean that the site plan agreement would be done within the 6 months and the work would be completed by the 6 months.
Yes.
So the amendment will be that the conditions outlined will be completed by December, as well as a signed site plan agreement.
That's fine.
And we have the movers, Mayor Thompson, and seconded by Councillor Downey. All in favor of the amendment?
No, I'm on board.
You gotta be on the. Oh, we got a whole. Look, we got a whole bunch of people. Come on. Okay, Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Specific to this, but in general, I'd just like to make a comment. When we do business like this, it is, in my opinion, rushed and not. And I mean, with all due respect, well thought out. When I look at this and I'm looking at what's being asked, I'm not saying I don't agree with it, but when I look about arrangements and land dedication to the region appeal, including vegetative screenings, berms, and site lighting, grading work, stormwater management, I feel very confident that this will not get done in 6 months and that we will come back and have to address this because we haven't met the timelines which are unattainable to begin with. That is why, if this is going to take 6 months, my referral was just going to take one council cycle. I'm concerned that this is not going to be attainable within the six-month time frame, and that we're going to have to come back and address it and defer it again. That's one, and staff can comment if they think that indeed this can be completed in 6 months. Actually, I'll ask it, is that attainable? I could have seen the agreement maybe, but the actual works is what I heard. Do staff feel that is reasonable?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Mezzapelli, what we would be looking for is basically a satisfactory site plan that demonstrates that all of these measures have been satisfactorily met to staff.
Physically
not,
or on
not
paper?
Not that the work has been physically done on site. It's simply that the site plan and the supporting information demonstrate that access arrangements are going to be satisfactory. The landscape works proposed are satisfactory. The stormwater management and grading works proposed are satisfactory. It's that submission and review exercise is to take place within the six-month period and hopefully arrive at a satisfactory conclusion within that six-month period.
And then there'll be a time after that for it physically to be implemented.
Then after that, the expectation would be you have the agreement executed, securities in place, et cetera, that now the site would be constructed according to those plans that have been deemed satisfactory.
Okay, because that's not how I understood it when it was presented. I understood it was the language in the agreement and the actual work. So if that, I think, is more attainable, and I don't know if this can be as direction, is that if there's an agreement that the actual physical implementation is implemented as soon as practical. because obviously we have issues we want to implement. We don't want that delayed. The second general point I want to make, Chair DeBoer, is this isn't the only one, an extension of a temporary use bylaw that comes before council, and it's not the long-term solution to an operation. And I'm not saying I know the answer, but this can't be the way to perpetually permit the use on site. Whether it's an official plan amendment and a rezoning to actually implement it and get it as legal conforming. But I just offer that as a comment and an observation on my part. We get these on a not infrequent basis, and it just seems to push it forward on a three-year cycle. And I just got to believe there's a better way to deal with it.
Okay. The revised amendment is up on the screen. Councillor Groves.
I'm fine.
You're fine? That's good to hear. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I'm not so fine. Anyways, okay, so we're saying that we're going to put it off 6 months. So how does that stop litigation? Because I heard that litigation was imminent, yet we're saying we're not going to truly approve it until we've got a site plan. We just gave them 6 months. So how, is it an approval? Like, how does that stop litigation if we're already heading down that road?
So to be clear, in terms of reference to litigation, there's a bylaw prosecution in play. We'd have to consider what our steps are. It's probably something that we should discuss in confidential session if we want to go that route.
Okay, so we just did this afternoon. Maybe we need to withdraw our amendments, Mr. Mayor, and discuss it confidentially, and then come forward something similar to what we just talked about with the bylaw, because it sounds like we're not really truly fixing the problem, because they aren't going to get their approval for at least 6 months, and then what happens in 6 months when they don't do the work? Now we haven't given them a date of which they have to have the work done by, so we're just chasing our tail is what it looks like to me. So, staff, what happens if they get a site plan done in 6 months and then they never do the work?
Yeah.
So, it's a two-part question. There's a discussion earlier about whether there should be a time frame around doing the work. We don't always do that in our site plan approval process. I strongly recommend it for anything of complexity, and I think this is obviously got that level of complexity where there should be a time bound. If that requirement isn't met, then it's a pretty straightforward prosecution following that. But if you don't have a time limit on it, then you're opening up the entire thing for debate.
So I just want to be clear. You also think we should have a timeline for when the work needs to get completed by?
We can't. We should, yes. It doesn't need to be set here because I think we need to understand the scope of the work. But the site plan agreement should have a time frame for the work to be completed.
Okay, so once again, I just want to make sure we're not truly approving it until that is done and then the work is done. So or do they automatically get their 3 years if they don't do any of that because we already approved it?
As I understand it, they've got a temporary use. What is being proposed is a temporary use bylaw that will be received for approval, but it's not a straightforward matter of being able to proceed with the works until they've complied with all the requirements in that bylaw and in the site plan agreement.
Okay, so I agree with Councillor Mezzapelli. I think this just got a heck of a lot more complicated than just looking at that original amendment. So I'm going to say we need to do it properly, and I won't support anything having to do with any of these because I really do believe now we need to have a discussion. Thank you very much.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer. I just maybe would like to ask staff to comment on the Sandhill Area OP review that's coming up in August of this year. And maybe that would shed some light for fellow council members on what's actually happening in the area and the conformity and the land uses that would potentially be coming through that area.
Ms. Tollett?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, Councillor Downey. So the OP review, one of the areas is looking at Sand Hill because, as you know, the OP review hasn't been done for quite some time. Things have changed over time. Land uses have changed over time, no different than intensification areas where we want them, where we don't want them. The OP review will not only look at this area, and that's why we've asked them to be part of the OP review so they can address their concerns, but also look at intensification, it looks at Palgrave, it looks at aggregate, it looks at agricultural, it looks at all those components to relook at our policies so that we can bring forward the official plan. And that process starts the kickoff in August, and then it usually takes about a year and a half to 2 years to do.
Okay. Thank you. So ultimately, within the Sand Hill and Tullamore corridor, we have a lot of logistics-related uses, some that are permitted, some that are temporary or otherwise. I think in this situation, granting the temporary use with the site plan conditions gives us the opportunity to have the landowners clean up the site, use it appropriately, and move forward through that OP process as well. We know where we live. We know the logistics is there in that area and that is a goods movement hub. So I personally would rather have support the amendment, have the applicant work towards having their site being used properly with the conditions, and then move through that OP review. So it also gives us the opportunity to have a little bit more control on that site plan as opposed to continually being reactive with bylaw concerns. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I'm not a big fan of these logistics things popping up everywhere, and I know I've had some in Bolton that I've had to deal with. But at the same time, the area that this is located in, it is predominantly logistics. There are no residents around there. I don't think there's any prestige industrial there either. So I really don't have a problem with this because the amendment asks for... the amendment asked for berming and fencing and working out access issues with the region. So I think it's important to, some of these things cost people money, a lot of money. And we've gone into court, and I can recall two properties that we went to court with in litigation many years ago, and I will tell you something, it cost us a whole lot of money in litigation, and at the end of the day, we lost. And we've had to absorb those court costs plus the other people's court costs. So, because of the location, would I support this in the prestige industrial area in Bolton? Probably not. But where this is located, I really don't have a problem with it. And because of all the screening and everything else that we're asking for, and I'm hoping that the applicant is going to live up to that and is going to do all the work that needs to be done, and that if it's approved, you're not just going to leave it like that and make it look and it looks like an eyesore. So I am going to support the amendment in good faith that you're going to put all the screening in place, the berming, the lighting, so that it does look tidy, because I can tell you, the one that we lost on, it is an eyesore. And so I don't want to go down that road again to absorb all these court costs. Thank you.
Councillor Innes.
Thank you. Just to reiterate the fact that we were spending a lot of money at the Region of Peel to upgrade this road, and that is solely for the purpose of the rezoning and such that's going to be happening along that corridor, and it's exactly this type of business of which we are trying to entice to this area, and that's why we're spending the money there. We have lots of concerns with regards to trucking and logistics in the town of Caledon. Wards 2 and 4, unfortunately, are becoming burdened, I will say, with illegal trucking depots, and it's a serious problem. What we need to do is have an area where we focus on that is actually going to have logistics, because whether we like it or not, it is a part of the growing economy, and we do have to find a place for it. It makes sense that this is where it is. So with the work that's happening with the Region Appeal and Sand Hill and the roundabout that's going in that way and the rezoning of those properties and what's happening with our official plan this August, I can't see why we wouldn't be supporting this. And I would suggest that if any members of these councils have concerns with regards to litigation or the process that ensues, let's just have it out and get it done with it, hand in camera, and have those discussions so that we can move on and vote on this. Thank you.
Okay. So we do have the amendment on the motion on the floor that was the mover was Mayor Thompson and second by Councillor Downey that satisfactory site plan agreement be entered into in 6 months. So we're going to move on that or vote on that. All in favor? All opposed? It's carried. So then on the complete motion. On this motion here, as amended, Councillor Innes, so we are voting on this one with the amendment that a satisfactory site plan agreement be entered into in 6 months. All in favor? All opposed? Carried. Okay. And we will move to staff report 2017-85 regarding the proposed official plan zoning bylaw amendments. White Sova Holdings, Inc., Part Lot 25, Concession 1, EHS Caledon, 20383, here Ontario Street, Ward 1, file number POPA 16-01 and RZ 16-10. That the bylaw attached as Schedule C to staff report 2017-85 be enacted to adopt official plan amendment number 248 to add a site-specific policy to the rural lands designation to permit a medical marijuana production facility on the subject lands. And that the bylaw attached Schedule D to the staff report 2017-85 be enacted to rezone the subject lands from rural A2 to rural exception 595. So that's A2-595 to permit a medical marijuana production facility in addition to the range of permitted uses in the rural A2 zone on the subject lands. It was asked to be held by Councillor Shaughnessy. She has the floor. Oh, a mover. First, a mover. Councillor Befford, Councillor Downey. And now, Councillor Shaughnessy, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. A question, because I know the report said that all the questions were answered. But mine weren't. So I'm going to say I did send in a list of questions, and I haven't seen the answers to my questions. And I had a number of them. So what I see with the cannabis is that it could be very contentious. And I'm in a ward where aggregate is contentious, and there are not enough restrictions surrounding aggregate for my residents' liking. And that's how I feel about the cannabis. So knowing that it's contentious, I sent in quite a list of questions, some that my residents had asked me to ask and some that I did. And I said, will you require a need study and a social impact study for this? And I didn't get an answer to that. I also asked... what is the number of houses the region has identified on that aquifer and how much it can handle it safely? My concern about the water is that even if it's an individual well and the region's pulling all this water out, actually to go all the way across to Mona Mills, just further south, is it on the same aquifer? And because I know there's a limited number. We have people here in the audience who have actually no water. So that was a concern. I also had, and I'm just going through, and I'm not going to say all the questions here, but there was one other one. I said, what would a matrix look like for approval process of all site-specific applications on agricultural land? So I asked that because of aggregate. We have rules surrounding aggregate. And we have to remember, Council, that back in 2014, prior to this particular council, staff did not support on agricultural land.
And their reasons and my reasons might be different. But then through a lot of lobbying and then final report coming to council, they actually succumbed. Actually, I'm not sure if they succumbed or council voted and supported site-specific. So my reason for the matrix was that are we going to deal with each one individually and not have the same rules for all? Because you guys know me. I'm about balance, and what is fair for one is fair for the other. So what I was actually suggesting there is, and other municipalities have done it, they've said what is the requirements that makes us feel comfortable in our municipality. And lots of municipalities said you better be on municipal water. Other municipalities said you better be on wastewater management. We don't want it going into the ground. So I was asking for a matrix because I didn't want this to be a personality. Well, we know him, so he gets the approval, and we don't know him, and he doesn't get the approval. Whereas if we're going to put it on agricultural land, it certainly needs to have specific guidelines, just like the province, or actually the federal government, puts on marijuana. They have specific guidelines that they must, but we don't have any. So, and from my perspective and my residents' perspective, being on municipal water was really key. And the fact is that we're going to dump back into the ground. And quite frankly, Ward 1 has a lot of environmentalists in it, and they really care. So I equate this to my aggregate operations. My aggregate operations, we put water off to site plan. Well, it's lost public scrutiny at that point. My aggregate operations in Caledon, constant complaints about air quality. Same thing here. My other complaint is about water quality. So I guess I'm a little apprehensive because at this council, I tried to get it extended to 750 meters for notification. And there were members on here that were adamant that I was not going to get it for this particular application, even though I did the same for aggregate, because we cannot go to 120 meters out in the rural areas. But I couldn't understand why my council didn't support that. Well, certain members, I shouldn't say that made it sound like all members, and that would be wrong. But I did have questions, and they're not answered. So from an environmental perspective, I know my residents had great concern, and no offense to the applicant, and I'm trying to figure out a nicer word than illegal, unlawful, in contravention to the bylaw for years and years and years, running an operation out. And staff said to me, well, that's not something we deal with. And that's my words, not theirs. And I said, and past behavior is an indication of future behavior. And I guess I learned my lessons on an application here that we all came together at the beginning of the term and had nothing to do with marijuana, cannabis, whatever name you'd like to call it. But it was about a noise situation on an application. And I said, never again will I do that. So once again, no offense to the applicant, but the residents in that area have been aggravated by an unlawful use of the property. So it's hard for me to get behind and say, we'll get on board with this. So once again, so just let me outline my concerns. Is my questions were not answered. And I care about the water, I care about the air quality, and I care that we should have looked at a matrix so we can judge all applications coming forward on agricultural land as the same. And you notice I didn't argue whether it was a crop or not, because it actually is a crop. But all other parts of the marijuana process are not a crop. They're a pharmaceutical. I've done lots of research. So I can't support it And I wish that somebody had gotten back to me with a matrix, so I'm not dealing on a personality basis of who gets it and who doesn't on agricultural land. So that's my sermon for tonight. And my residents in the area do not support it. I will not be supporting it. Thank you. I don't know if anybody has any other questions. Thank you.
Brendan, do you want to answer any questions about air and water quality? I think the second question that I heard was about the application process on agriculture zone lands and maybe a quick touch. And we were fortunate you did the actual bylaw on this, so we do have our own expert.
Well, thank you, Chair DeBoer. I'll do my best to answer some of Councillor Shaughnessy's questions. I believe the first one related to air quality. And I think as was noted, or perhaps it wasn't, but it was at least recognized through our staff exercise that marijuana production facilities are heavily regulated by the federal government. Within those regulations are very stringent requirements for air quality, particularly requirements to make sure that facilities are equipped with features that prevent any odor or pollen emissions, and any destruction activities do not result in any sort of smoke emissions. With this application, they will, of course, have to adhere to those requirements. They've noted that they will have filtration systems equipped with HEPA filter components. And there will be no waste destruction occurring on site. They'll be storing it in a secured container internal to the site, and it'll be shipped off-site for appropriate disposal elsewhere. Water usage, of course, was addressed in the staff report. They did a hydrogeology impact study and a sewage system design report, looked at the water quantity, the capacity that the existing well can produce, and they found that the well is certainly well capable, pardon the pun, of producing water above and beyond the anticipated usage for the facility. And similarly with the sewage system, they will have to construct a new system, but they did look at the existing conditions and noted that they will have to have advanced treatment components to meet some additional treatment requirements. They noted that there will, of course, be some water usage that's lost through evaporation and so forth. So bottom line, those studies were reviewed by the Region Appeal. We hired a peer review consultant, qualified in hydrogeology, to review it, as well as the Orangeville Risk Management Office for Source Water Protection also reviewed it. All three agencies came back with satisfactory review comments on those documents. I'm not certain if I've missed anything. Oh, the matrix was another aspect.
The matrix or the application process on A1 lands, because we do permit them in, remind me now, retail.
Prestige and serviced industrial.
Okay.
That's the direction in the zoning bylaw. Every application should be reviewed on a site-specific, case-by-case basis. It's not a question of, well, who should get it, who shouldn't. It's based on what application can meet the policies that apply to that site and what are the site-specific circumstances. That direction was very clear throughout the townwide review, that based on our fundamental understanding of prospective facilities in general terms, we felt that they would be best accommodated in those industrial zone areas. We acknowledged, however, that there may be certain circumstances elsewhere, maybe specific operations that may be appropriate in those circumstances. We don't have enough information on those, obviously, at this time. So the best way to determine if they're going to be appropriate or not would be to go through a site-specific application. And, of course, with all of our applications, we don't have matrices or so on to evaluate them. We look at the applicable planning policy and produce a report based on our analysis.
Thank you very much, Brandon. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Brandon. To Brandon, I'm just reading on page 6 of 13. Did you say the region was satisfied with, there we go, the region expressed no concerns with the approval and requires monitoring and contingency. So who will be monitoring? So I guess it's the concern that I hear from Councillor Shaughnessy and from her residents were with the water and the wastewater. So who is going to be monitoring?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves. That is a requirement of the region to be implemented through the site plan application process that's forthcoming, that essentially the applicant prepare a monitoring and contingency plan that they will have to enforce as the facility continues to operate. Basically, it sets out a framework of parameters that looks at operating scenarios, and if certain contingency measures are met, then they take appropriate mitigation measures. They're a fairly common practice with respect to water usage facilities, and this is no different. And again, that's what the region recommended to be implemented appropriately through a site plan application process.
Okay, and is MOECC involved in this at all?
I believe the threshold for getting MOECC involvement is the usage has to meet or exceed 10,000 liters per day. I think the facility is at a maximal operating scenario proposed. It would hit 7,500 liters per day. So therefore, the MOECC would not be involved through a permit to take water process.
Okay. And these facilities use a lot of hydro, right? So do we have any comments from hydro?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves, we did not receive comments from Hydro One on this application. We do circulate them. It's not untypical for them not to comment. My understanding is they receive and review applications more for the purposes of their own planning efforts, and if they have any concerns or wish to advise an applicant of where infrastructure is nearby that they should be aware of, they comment accordingly.
Okay. So in reading Mr. Garbutt's letter, I know what our bylaw permits, and it permits it in the industrial zone and enclosed area and things like that, but in reading Mr. Garbutt's letter, I just have some concerns with respect to, are we going to be seeing a whole bunch of these things popping up everywhere in the farmers' fields and that?
Sorry. I guess you can talk about the process, Brandon, but that there is a federal application process, I guess, would cover that off.
Sure. Thank you, Councillor DeBoer, and through you to Councillor Groves. There is a federal application process that obviously the licensee or the prospective licensee would have to meet, and all the requirements must be adhered to. In terms of them popping up all over the rural landscape, well, I don't foresee that happening because the bylaw as it stands permits those uses as of right in the prestige industrial and service industrial zones based on a very extensive analysis exercise that we undertook. So any proposal looking to locate elsewhere would have to go through this very same exercise, submit a site-specific zoning bylaw and possibly official plan amendment applications that would be reviewed accordingly and go through the same process.
And all of these things that were raised, water, wastewater, traffic, air quality would all have to be addressed through any application that comes forward.
Brandon?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Thompson.
Mr. Ward, first of all, I want to say, and I don't think Councillor Shaughnessy meant it this way, but I'm going to tell you, you've done a terrific job when you first brought this marijuana thing forward. A lot of us didn't know much about it. I know the agriculture community didn't want the site-specific zoning put on their lands because of it. You went through a lengthy process, and I know you spoke at conferences about it because you were one of the first ones to get this off the ground, and you've done your homework. But also I wanted to thank you, Mr. Ward, also for putting such an in-depth report. Now, I think if you asked the applicant, I think he feels he's been put through hell and back. Because the overkill that's taken place. But I got to tell you, I want to congratulate you for putting together a really good report. I think all our citizens and residents, if they read the report, can know that it's going to be this where the site-specific application is. It's a secure application, and for water, wastewater on all usages, you've really dotted every I and crossed every T. And you have really done your homework, and I want to congratulate you on a fine job. You did this is a masterpiece, and I got to say it's very well done. So I think it's huge overkill. But what this happens is when you build an application this good, if council turns it down, it means that we haven't got a hope and chance of ever winning at the board because this report is so solid. So I think I want to thank you for putting together a good report.
I think it's if council, to me personally, I'm just going to take this and just file it away just because I think it's a very well done document, and congratulations. I know you put a lot of hours and time on it, and I want to thank you for being so thorough.
Okay, Councillor Befford.
Yes, thank you. I agree it's a good report, and I don't want to go into the overkill, but there's one issue that's extremely important to myself, and it is equally important to the residents, and that's water. Doesn't matter what we talk about, whether it's aggregate or other things, it's the water. And when we do aggregate applications, one of the things that we do to ensure and put some peace of mind to the neighbors around the aggregate operation is to say that initially, with their permission to go on their property, the applicant would provide a baseline of what their wells are like. And then if there is a change, it can be monitored, and it would give them a little peace of mind that they at least are going to have somebody assist them if their water all of a sudden disappears. We had that happen with Devil's Pulpit. Nobody wanted it to happen, and it was probably a good application, but it did happen. It's come back since. So I don't know how I would get that done, but I'm wondering if the applicant would consider. I don't think it would be too many houses. It would be on a joint basis that you would go in and do simply a water test, find out what the baseline is, and then work together that if there is a problem down the road, at least you'll work together. So I would make that recommendation. Other than that, I think really we've got to understand that this is happening all over Canada. There are these kinds of operations that are developing. There's one in Nanaimo, BC that ships all over Canada and has been working now for a good 10 years without a complaint. And I just, you know, I agree with Mayor Thompson. This is such a well put together report, even though there are some fears. People always have fears at the beginning, but if we were to take this to the OMB, I think we would lose, no, hands down. But I would like, and I don't know, Brandon, how we would get the applicant to work that, whether it's just a notion that says, yes, we'll work with you, or whether there's some other way to do it. You can help me with that, but that's what I would recommend.
Did you want to answer?
Sure. Thank you, Chair DeBoer, and through you to Councillor Befford. We can certainly look at implementing that through a monitoring and contingency plan. That may be one of the requirements of the region. Certainly, you have to know where you're starting in terms of monitoring, so I'm sure baseline conditions would already be factored in terms of deriving a monitoring program, but nevertheless, we will certainly work with the applicant to ensure that's undertaken.
Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I want to clarify something, and excuse me, Mr. Mayor, but my comments had nothing to do with staff. It had everything to do with political people getting influenced. So I don't think that's a crime, but that's what we do. We are political people. So it had nothing, Brandon, it had nothing to do with you or your staff. I didn't comment on the quality of your report because I'm actually speaking on behalf of the residents. And what was missed from my perspective, my questions, and I think Brandon will agree that my questions weren't answered. But let me just explain one step further. If we approve pits on an as-come basis, on an individual basis, we would be in mayhem. Pits have a certain requirement, and every PIT application is based on exactly the same information. I just heard that that's not how we're going to do this with regards to in agricultural land. They're assessed individually. But that is why I said I would prefer to have a matrix where they're all judged on the same thing. We either say we want water or we don't want water. We want wastewater, we don't. We want this type of air quality, we don't. I mean, I heard complaints from the one in... I've heard complaints from the one in Bolton from the air quality. We don't want it near schools because we don't want the odor, et cetera. So, and the province mandates pits. And they don't do a perfect job. We know that. Staff knows that because we get the complaints on air quality, water, truck haul routes, et cetera. I'm not complaining on the haul routes. So, clarity here. I do not have a problem with the staff report. I don't believe it addresses my residents' concerns from a complete level, not individually. So I don't, you know what, you guys don't have to answer me, but pits are compared apples to apples, the same requirements, but I don't see that happening here. And I, no matter what we do with air quality, and we say it works for, I mean, Councillor Groves and myself have issues with air quality, hers in Bolton, mine, constantly in Caledon Village, even though it's gone through all the requirements. So I agree with Councillor Beffert that we need to monitor the wells. If this council so approves this, we need to monitor the wells. I 100% agree with that. But I still can't support it from all the other environmental concerns, and it worries me that we don't have a matrix. So that's it. I just wanted to clarify, Brandon. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Air quality has always been an issue in Bolton, and certainly I've heard loud and clear from residents there with respect to air quality, but that air quality was based on the logistics and trucking, warehousing, and that sort of thing that's located in Bolton. But I've never had any complaints from these operations in Bolton about any air quality. As a matter of fact, they're heavily monitored. They're contained. Odor is contained. So I haven't had any complaints from anybody with respect to, I think we have like two or three in Bolton, because they're in a contained area. So, and I know that the rules are very strict with it. So just want to put that on record.
Okay. Thank you very much. I have no further questions. I'm going to call the question. So staff, we had a mover. Councillor Beffer was the mover and Downey was seconder. Do I need to read a motion again? Everybody's in favor? All in favor? All opposed? Carried. Okay. We are going to move in camera. Oh, correspondence. You want to do correspondence first? Okay. We have one item of correspondence. Yes. Where is the request for this one? It's from the Caledon Area Families for Inclusion to be invited to provide a presentation to Council concerning Caledon Housing Initiative. And are you asking Councillor Mezzapelli would move to request that? I mean, you seconder, right? Councillor Innes, all in favor? All in favor? You guys over there. Okay. Carried. And now under the Planning and Development Committee will go into confidential session under Section 239 Municipal Act for following purposes. Councillor Downey has declared a conflict and she will be leaving. And she is gone. Confidential staff report 2017-15, advice to solicitor, client privilege, including communication necessary for that purpose, and the appeal options for Committee of Adjustment Decision Number B004-016-13471 Heart Lake Road, Ward 2. So, do we do that part before we're in camera? Okay, mover. We have a mover. Mayor Thompson, seconder. Councillor Innes. And a vote? Oh, okay. All in favor? Okay. And now we'll move in camera. Okay. Where is this? Here it is. Okay. Confidential staff report 2017-15 regarding advice is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communication necessary for the purposes of appeal options, Committee of Adjustment Decision Number B04-1016, 13471 Heartlake Road, Ward 2. It was moved by. We have a move. Do we have a mover for the recommendation? Councillor Innes. Have a seconder. Mayor Thompson. All in favor of staff's recommendation? Ms. Outline of the court. All in favor? All opposed? Okay. I vote in favor. So motion carries. Motion adjourned.